Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and in the paralyzed, polarized relationship between Israelis and Palestinians, something is stirring. A moderate party did better in the Israeli elections last week than polls or pundits predicted. I guess they needed Nate Silver over there. President Obama announced a trip to Israel and invitations for an Israeli-Palestinian summit. And a new study funded by the State Department recommends ways for Israeli and Palestinian schools to tone down the rhetoric in their textbooks. The study is getting blowback, as you may have heard, from Israel, which accuses it of missing the worst of how Palestinians educate for hate. But let's take a look and see what's there, and perhaps more importantly, what they recommend that both sides change. With us are all three principal researchers, Israeli, Palestinian, and American. Bruce Wexler is professor emeritus of psychiatry and senior research scientist at the Yale School of Medicine. Sami Adwan is a professor at Bethlehem University, and Daniel Bartal is a professor at Tel Aviv University. Welcome, all of you, to WNYC. The two of you are here in studio with us, Dr. Wexler and Dr. Bartal. Thank you for braving the weather forecast. I guess you don't get many blizzards in Tel Aviv, right?
No, we don't. We don't.
on the phone in Philadelphia, as it happens, Dr. Adwan, hello.
Hello, good morning.
So, Dr. Wexler from Yale, I gather this study was your idea as part of your work to foster Israeli-Palestinian mutual understanding. But tell us why this study is important. You can find that one side or the other teach history in skewed or even hateful ways, and it doesn't give the Palestinians the state they want, and it doesn't give Israelis the security they want. So from the beginning, why was this worth undertaking in the first place?
Well, actually, Brian, this study was initiated by the Council of Religious Institutions of the Holy Land. They asked me to design the study, seek funding for it, and create the research team to provide a factual basis.
That's a consortium of Christian, Muslim, and Jewish organizations?
The council consists of the chief rabbis of Israel, the minister of religious affairs for the Palestinian Authority, the Latin, Greek, and Armenian patriarchs of Jerusalem, and the Anglican and Lutheran bishops of the Holy Land. So they asked me, they were interested in education for peace, what things can contribute better to a peace-building culture. And they rightly realized that we don't know, well, we didn't know before this study, what's actually in the textbooks, although it has been a topic of much public discussion. Our job as scientists, our assignment was do the best possible objective study, bringing together people who have studied textbooks in the past and understand the qualitative aspects of an effort like this with my quantitative background. So we made a unique study that for the first time really employs some basic scientific principles and processes to answer the question that we were asked to answer. What is in the current textbooks? And that's what we've answered.
And again, before we get to some of those answers to that question, what good does it do to know? How does it help the situation?
Well, our assumption as scientists is that any public discussion benefits if it's based on facts.
And I read that you looked at 74 Israeli and 94 Palestinian textbooks covering grades 1 through 12 and including the subjects of geography, literature, religion, and social sciences in both Hebrew and Arabic. And there were really three systems you measured: textbooks from Israeli public and Palestinian public schools and Israeli Orthodox schools. Professor Bartal, is that correct?
Right, correct.
So what did you measure?
So we tried to find out how a religious conflict is presented on a very general level, but if we go into specific, we try to find how each system presents the other, how each system presents itself, which means self-presentation, how presents the action of the other. We also touched on various concepts such as peace, conflict, values. We also analyzed maps, photos, and other illustrations that are a part of the school textbooks.
One of Israel's main accusations has been that Palestinians teach their children that suicide bombing is a good and glorious thing. And the New York Times reports that you found a passage in an Arabic language book for sixth graders that said, quote, Every stone is violated. Every square cries out in anger. Every nerve is abuzz. Death before submission. Death before submission. Forward. So let me ask you, Dr. Adwan, since I imagine you oversaw the Arabic language part of the study. How should people hear that praise for death before submission, death before submission, death before submission, forward? Does that encourage suicide bombings?
I don't think that encouraged suicide bombing, and this is out. You know, this is in the contrary. It shows that people has to be steadfast and should be to be strong and maintain their integrity and presence on the land. And it's a way to just strengthen yourself. I don't think it will encourage a suicide bomber or incite any kind of violence or terror. It's kind of a description that each Palestinian feel continuing living under occupation with its atrocity and its practices of daily life, how to sustain your integrity and your identity and your self-content.
But why was that passage flagged in the report? Do you have some concern about it?
Well, I have some concern about it, but I have also some concern about the political situation. I have some concern about it that children should grow and learn and live toward understanding themselves and understanding the others in a positive way. Actually, concern about it, we should protect our children from the daily trauma that they're living in, and textbooks should also lead them to this direction.
But Brian, you ask why was that flagged in the study? Our job was to say what's in the books. And one of the things in the books on both sides, and Professor Bartal is an expert in this and he can comment further on it, one of the prominent features of the books, all the books, is establishing the idea that people, citizens of each of the community, have to be prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice of their lives in defense of their community. And there are multiple examples of this in all the books. And we cited other examples of heroic Israelis who breathed their last breath. And so, there was another quote in the Palestinian books under that same category was, "I regret I have but one life to give to my country." This was in the Palestinian books. And it's for us, it's the exact category that you're talking about. But it's a common feature of
sort
national
of
narratives.
Normal patriotism that any society would experience.
But societies in conflict. Dr. Bartal can talk about
that. But Dr. Bartal, the equivalent example that the Times gives from an Israeli book for second graders was in the story of Joseph Trumpeldor, who dies defending an early Zionist settlement from Arab attackers. And he said, quote, "Never mind, it is good to die for our country." But if you look at those two side by side, the Arabic one I just mentioned and the Hebrew one, I guess, both translated to English there, isn't that praise for defending against attacks in the Israeli case, and the Palestinian language is more praise for launching attacks?
It's, you know, almost in the eye of the beholder, if you want to go with this, you can go as far as you want. So it's a matter of interpretation. But I would say even further, if you look at the history of every nation, look at your history of the independence war, you will find this type of passages. If you go to Polish history, Italian history, I mean, the struggle, the violence for independence is part of the ethos, very important part that each nation is devoting really a lot of effort to impart what we call patriotism and national identity.
You do seem to come down harder, Dr. Wexler, in the report, ultimately on the Palestinians. It says Israeli state system textbooks contain more information and more self-criticism. Can you describe the difference?
The language here, Brian, is so interesting. Your language that we come down harder on the Palestinians. Our job as scientists to say what's in the books. We had a quantitative dimension to the study. These are the data. These are the facts. And there is a fact that all of the books have a weight. Their portrayal of the other is heavily weighted towards showing things that the other has done, which are true, and negative things, and many fewer true and positive things. Now, just like you probably personally, you have true and positive things about yourself and true and negative things about yourself, as do I. Our assumption is that both of these communities, there are true and negative things and true and positive things. What happens in a unilateral narrative is that you select the true and negative things about the other to put in your textbooks and feed to your students, and you select the true and positive things about yourself. This is what's typical. Now, that particular bias of presentation was less pronounced in Israeli state school books. This was statistically significant finding. So our job was just to report what's in there. All the school books were biased in the way I'm saying, but that bias was less pronounced in Israeli state schools.
Right. For example, I think that one of the findings, to some extent, even if you want, can be viewed as surprising, is that the Israeli state books go relatively, I would say even extensively, over the period to point out to the Israeli students about behaviors, actions that you may call them maybe immoral, inappropriate, done against the Palestinians. You can, Israeli school textbook talk about Deir Yassin, they talk about expulsion of Palestinians, about particular events that happen in villages like Kibieh and Kfar Qasem, and this goes along the history.
But I don't want to get lost in this conversation that you found a difference in this respect between yes. the Israeli state textbooks and the ones in the private ultra-Orthodox schools with, I guess, a more nationalistic perspective. And one of the passages you cited was referring to an Arab village as a nest of murderers.
Right. There is a difference, and and everybody has to understand that the State of Israel does not have a control over the textbooks which are used in the ultra-Orthodox system, which is autonomous, very much divided. There are different books. And really one of the interesting contribution of this study was that we studied this textbook. Usually they are not studied, and usually the focus is on the state schools, which by itself is important contribution.
Yeah, Professor Adwan, I know you're at a disadvantage here for being on the phone when the rest of us are sitting around a table. Is there anything you want to add to what we were just talking about?
Yeah, I would say that I just want to emphasize what has been said. We are presenting what's in the textbooks, and also we found out that both sides mentioned their historical narrative in a selective way, and that to present the self in a positive way and to present the others in a negative way, and that's part of any school system that reflects the continuation of the conflict. It's not an easy process to isolate or, you know, the issue of textbooks, what's the content and the orientation, you know, far away from the context reality. I found this differentiation and this findings of this differentiation that this research study has presented and the findings, I think it's a very valuable scientific product that should be looked up by both ministries of education, the Israeli and the Palestinian Ministry of Education. And I'm invited by the Ministry of Education next week to talk about the result with them and to see what can be done. And I hope that Professor Danny Bartel will be invited by the Israeli Ministry of Education also to discuss what could be done with these objective results.
So tell me more about that, Dr. Adwan, because, you know, we need to look beyond the eternal squabble over who's the bigger victim and who's the bigger aggressor and talk about your recommendations for toning it down on both sides. And I would say that these are getting no media attention. People only want to talk about who's the bigger good guy or who's the bigger bad guy. So, Professor Adwan, what do you propose, for example? What will you tell a Palestinian education official next week?
I would tell them that they first of all, they should go ahead and include a part of the culture and tradition of the Israeli society. I would tell them that this is it's good for our children to educate them about the other side. It's part of recognitions. I would tell them also to develop more multi-perspective approach to learning and teaching. It's not done to be in one-sided or in a monolithic approach. I would tell them that, yes, it's true that you have to present and emphasize your history, and you have to do it in a positive way, meaning that to look at the past and to look at the current and to build for the future. This is not an easy situation. And I heard one of the Palestinian member of the ministry saying that, how could I teach my children in a positive way to the Israeli while the children are facing extreme difficult reality on the ground? So how that could sound to our children, you know, to the our children, how they will take this out. But if by the virtue they are willing to listen and they are willing to include these or to take these results into consideration, for me this is a very beginning steps toward improving and developing the Palestinian textbooks toward coexist and a hopefully peaceful resolution.
Professor Bartal.
Right. You know, two points are important to make. You know, we as an expert on conflict resolution and reconciliation, it is clear that we do not advocate and it's impossible to change narratives. To change narratives takes many, many years. Look how many years it took to French and German to build a new narrative. What we do believe it's important is to make small steps. For example, elimination of dehumanizing labels which still appear, to provide more information about the other. I think that it's very important to change the maps which ignores the existence of the other. The second point that I would like to make is that we know that there is kind of egg and hen problems that goes on. What should go first? Whether there should be a change on the ground or change in the mind? And personally, I do believe that it has to go in both ways. So you cannot wait for the change on the ground. You have to prepare with measurable steps, minor even, in order when the peace will come, and I hope that will come, the nation, the new generation, the society members will be more ready to accept political steps.
And Dr. Wexler, on the politics, before you go, Palestinians are receiving the study with open arms, saying it shows that Israel's accusations of incitement and education are wrong, or at least with that spin that welcomes the report. Israel rejects the study, saying it's politically motivated libel. Does it mean you failed in this as a means to increase mutual understanding?
Well, as my colleagues have said, this is a first step, and it's a process that's still ongoing. It's wonderful that there's a free and active press in the world that is presenting our study and making the information available. We have posted at everything, the report, and 1,500 quotes from the books translated into Hebrew, English, and Arabic so the whole world can look themselves. You could go to Israeli-Palestinian-schoolbooks.blogspot.com and download those. So we think that we are making a significant contribution by providing the facts. We were a bit shocked at what the response to us as scientists, that to the effort to discredit us methodologically has no basis. We had an international scientific advisory panel of the world's experts in textbook analysis who followed the study from start to finish, met for a whole day in Jerusalem at the beginning and again at the end of the study to review the methods and data, and that advisory panel unanimously agreed that the study was of the highest scientific standard.
And so you look past the initial political spin by either the Israeli or the Palestinian governments, and you hope that all of what's out there in the meetings that both of you are going to have with your respective education ministries will result in change on the ground, and that's where the positive impact would come. Right?
Exactly. That's our hope.
Well, thank you all very much. And again, listeners, it's Israeli-Palestinian text
schoolbooks.
Say it again.
Israeli-Palestinian schoolbooks, all one word, .blogspot, B-L-O-G-S-P-O-T, .com, Israeli-Palestinian schoolbooks, blogspot.com.
Bruce Wexler, Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry and Senior Research Scientist at Yale School of Medicine. Sami Yadwan, Professor at Bethlehem University, who worked on the study. Daniel Bartal, Professor at Tel Aviv University, who worked on the study. Thank you so much for discussing this with us.
Thank you
very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, journalist Jamal Yogis with his new book about our most primal emotion, fear. Stay tuned.